own WMP.
My name is William, and I'm an addict. And this is a real interesting experience called Narcotics Anonymous. I would like to welcome anybody, if this is their first convention, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This is one of those energy-draining experiences, but it's one that you will never forget. I also want to acknowledge anybody that's having any specific difficulties that they're going through, painful difficulties. You know, just kind of stick in there, things gonna work out. There's a special brother that rode down with us on the way here. You know, he's new to Narcotics Anonymous, but he's fighting cancer. So he couldn't come to this particular meeting because we took him back to his room. Because the cancer's really kind of, you know, it's wearing him down, you know what I mean, taking that chemo and everything. But it was an interesting thing. He stayed sick all the way down here. You know, he kept a bag with him, and he was spitting up in the bag, and he can't keep anything on his stomach. So I really meant to change clothes and all that kind of thing, but, you know, sometimes, you know, how you look isn't real important. You dig? So we kind of sat with him to the very last moment, you know, kind of see if he wanted to come here. And he said, no, I don't want, I think I better sit here, you know what I'm saying? So after we finish with this, I'm going back to hang with him. You dig? Because that's what you people have taught me. I want to acknowledge the teachers of Narcotics Anonymous, those people who were here when I got here. May 19th of last year, one of the teachers died. That was my sponsor. I stayed with him for 21 years, Mr. Thomas Gordon Stark. You know, I want to acknowledge him. And the other teachers that was here when I got here, a couple of them, I saw them tonight, Butch and Arthur, you dig, and the many others that have gone. And one in particular who left Narcotics Anonymous July 7th of 1985, Jimmy Keenan. You know, it was something interesting about Jimmy Keenan. We don't speak of him that much in our meetings. However, for those of us that have taken the opportunity to find out what the statement means when it says many of our problems are like those of our predecessors, you know, that's an interesting statement because it invites you to find out who the predecessors were. And the interesting thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that to find out what was the author's intent, when he put together this thing called Narcotics Anonymous. Jimmy Keenan was the co-founder of Narcotics Anonymous, and his story starts off by saying, in 1953 in Southern California, me, some well-wishing members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and some other addicts put together what we now know as Narcotics Anonymous. That's an interesting statement, right, for anybody to say. I was noticing a brother who was sitting up here, and he made an accident. He said, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I respect the fact that that was said, and you responded with respect. You dig what I'm saying? Because it opens up the spirit to accept mistakes. You understand what I'm saying? We're not here to point. We're only here to find out. It says, in time. In time. What is your thing? What is your thing? In time. Through recovery, dreams do come true. In order to find out about that, then you're going to have to take the opportunity to utilize time. Time is right now. I've been here 22 years, but the only time that matters is called right now. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm digging on this guy called Jimmy Keenan because only for one reason, because I had some time to use and I didn't have nothing to do with it. You dig? So I started looking for holes in Narcotics Anonymous. That's the only reason I started studying this guy called Jimmy Keenan. And the parallel is I rode down with a brother who is experiencing physical difficulties, but he still wanted to come to the convention. Well, Jimmy Keenan also had cancer and emphysema, and he had many trips to the hospital. One of the trips in 1968, the history is told, he designed our symbol while he was in the hospital fighting cancer. And he put together the circle, the universal program. That's why his mistake didn't bother me. It's universal. Then he put together the pyramid, and he defined what freedom was. Freedom came as the base of recognition that Narcotics Anonymous has the power to outreach the limited boundaries. So, with that being the case, let's find out what he's talking about then. I came from the White Law Hotel. That's 14th and T Street. You know, I am a heroin addict. Yeah. Yeah, I still got a love affair with that thing, you know. I still like dope. You dig? You understand? I just think that because I have an incurable disease that I better keep doing this, right? But anyway, it was down around the White Law Hotel that a guy kind of introduced me to the Grim Reaper. He said to me very clearly, Slim, if you can't get that money together by 12 noon, you're going to have a hard time breathing, you know. His name was Roland Brown Bay. Some people call him Little Rabbit, you know what I mean? And he said that thing real interesting to me. He say stuff real slick. He a little James Cagney type of dude. He ain't no taller than this. But he had a lot of murder beats. But he told me, you know, he always looked, he talked to you like somebody like was always trying to pinpoint his conversation. So he always looked behind him when he talked. He said to me, he said, Slim, I'm going to get back on top in this town. But before I do so, I got to take a couple people out. Don't let one of them be you. But by this time, I was taking Blue Valium, drinking alcohol, shooting dope, mixing it with BAM and cocaine. You dig? That's called synergism. Yeah. In other words, I was trying to compensate for the dope that I didn't have. That's how you die. You know, mixing barbiturates, alcohol, and heroin. That's how you leave here, right? But as a result of mixing drugs like that, see, I knew that this side of the room was the people you didn't mess with. They had murder beats. This side of the room is people that's beatable. This side of the room are people who just like you. But when I used to mess with the Valium alcohol and mix all that other stuff, I used to get my people mixed up. I was getting my people mixed up for the last 3 years of my addiction. Man, I had so many murderers looking for me. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous to hide. This is a good place to hide. And it was real funny that I checked into the VA hospital, and my mama took me too. Big old dummy. I checked into the VA hospital, and I apparently had done too much dope. I snuck and did some dope that morning, and I saved the other half to shoot while I was in the treatment, you know. And they found my dope. Carmelita Witherspoon found my dope. They shook my luggage and shook my clothes, and a U-80 insulin syringe fell out of my clothes, fully cocked. Yeah. So here I was, stuck in treatment, with the last syringe of dope being found, and the party was over. And from that experience, I was stuck with you people. And the question I always wanted to be answered is, when is it safe to leave? When is it safe to leave Narcotics Anonymous? Eventually what happened is I got too much clean time. 8 months. In 8 months, I was saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to stay here. You know what I'm saying? You know, a dummy like me, you know, I'm the type of guy that goes off to college, pick something to major in, and about 3 years of being working towards a degree, it dawns on you. I don't want to do this. Eight months of being in Narcotics Anonymous, I had to answer the question, do you want to stay clean? Do you want to get a job, deal with life, face the difficulties that you had put on other people? And I answered that question before I went to see the Wizard of Oz. The reason I couldn't stay clean is because I'm a coward, because I'm weak, because I'm irresponsible, and because I'm afraid. Knowing that didn't help the situation any, because I clearly made a decision to leave Narcotics Anonymous on a Friday night. But I was using some other difficulties, you know, when life deals you a hand that you don't particularly like the hand, I was going to use the hand. See, I need a reason. I need to be able to explain to you mediocrity. When you come back and you see me and I'm high, I need to be able to explain that thing to you. So at the time, I had a wife and she had a man. She probably had him when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. That was my strange wife, you know, but I just needed a reason, you know. But I had acquired in 8 months an NA girlfriend. Well, she had just got a man, too. And it was Friday night. And the disease of addiction went over to the cabinet and picked out an X-rated video with both my wife and my girlfriend and stuck it in, and I wasn't in the video. And my mind just kept playing that thing, right? So the next thing I knew, I found out what the first step meant when it says we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction. I was 8 months clean, but my pants walked over to me, the car cranked up. You understand? And next thing I know, my car was driving me around in Washington, D.C., and it drove me to the old familiar places. Once I got to where the car was trying to get me, I didn't have a relationship problem. My mind did not go and pick the video up. The movie had changed. However, in that drive, I had made a call prior to that drive, and I called Thomas Gordon Stark. I made that NA call. to the guy who turned out to be my sponsor, and I drove up his house, and it was there in 1983, prior to the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous being written, that I met with a guy and was introduced to the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I'm not quite sure what the clap is for, but bring it on. But anyway, it was there that I began to have an introduction to a spiritual experience. And I remember that I was too cool when we got to the third step to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I just couldn't see where the benefit. What did I need to give up? And what was I going to get back? You're asking me to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. The question is, what am I going to get back? So now, I had to answer the question in reverse. I had to ask dumb William, well, tell me, William, what type of life do you have? Oh, that didn't take long to answer. What type of materialistic possessions do you have? What type of self-worth do you have? And here I was bargaining with God as if I had a chip that was too expensive. Turn my will and my life over to the care of God, what am I going to get back? I've always been one of those guys who have pointed at the church and downplayed it. By the way, I'm a preacher's son. You understand? So anyway, I had a problem in that area. However, add this to the picture. The only reason that I met the steps is because it's time for me to leave Narcotics Anonymous on a Friday night. When you make the decision to leave Narcotics Anonymous, you've made a decision. It says that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. So now I'm making the decision to keep the appointment with the Grim Reaper. And you confronted me with this question. What about this turning your will and your life over to the care of God? Based on the fact that the Grim Reaper was waiting on me outside the door, I said, I'll try. Why not? What do you have to lose? The difficult part came because I play chess 5 moves ahead. Somewhere between this turning your will and your life over to the care of God, it's going to be required that you do some things that are quite uncomfortable. It's going to be required that you move from the realm of the intellect into the inside. In other words, once the third step decision is made, shallowness will never do. The true nature of addiction, the true nature of an addict cannot be changed. It's written in our literature. However, through the steps, we can put to rest that any addict can seek recovery if you are willing. In time, through recovery, we can experience freedom and happiness. I hadn't gotten there yet. Once you get to Narcotics Anonymous, you have the opportunity to utilize the time through recovery. So now I'm resisting this experience because I know what's going to come up. You're going to say to me that even though you have kept this appointment with this guy who says he's your sponsor, he's willing. He's the teacher. You're the student. The question is, are you going to be a good student? I've never been a good student. Even though the third step decision could have lasting effect, or should I say great effect, it will never have any lasting effect until we face that inventory. And I had been to meetings long enough to find out how you could use the fellowship to keep from doing the program. So I said, shit, I only got 8 months in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't want microwave recovery. I was using some BS to keep him doing the program. But it was, you know, every night is Friday night with me. You need to know that. You dig? So it's Friday night. I'm making a decision to keep this appointment with the Grim Reaper. Why not do it, you understand, before you keep the appointment? So I went through with the fourth step. Now, I was one of them people that could not write unless I was in the presence of my sponsor. Because whenever it's time for me to do anything responsibly, I get an erection. You ever got paid and all your bills is due and all your bills are on the table? All you need to do is go open the envelope, pull out the bill, get the checkbook out, find out how much money you got, write each bill, put a stamp on it, get to the mailbox, put the bills in the mailbox, go through the mood swing because you dropped it and realize you don't have no money left. Erection. Anytime I'm confronted with responsibility, it seems as though I need something to excite me so that I can duck my responsibilities. You dig? So every time I needed to go meet this guy, there was always somebody that needed to see me. You dig? Obviously, sex was a major part of the fourth step. I remember continuing with that step. And I was coming to the end, and courage was getting to be an issue here. I've been to enough meetings to know that y'all are going to ask me to go to confession. Whoa here. In time, through recovery, we will come to know our dreams. Without the steps, tell me, what kind of dream are you having now? Nightmare. Thank you very much. The Grim Reaper comes check in with you. All those old memories of what you did come and check in with you, right? And you come to meetings and you kind of get involved with the traditions without the experience of recovery. And it, you know, it's bipolar. You understand what I'm saying? Without the steps, the only thing you can be having is a bipolar clean experience. You need medication, right? So anyway, I remember I was driving to keep this appointment with my sponsor, and the disease crawled up my left arm. That's the side he hang on. And he whispered in my ear, "Why are you doing this?" And I remember I had a headache trying to listen to him and listen to what I was hearing in the meetings. I kept the appointment with my sponsor. I was sweating. When I knocked on his door, only thing I can remember was sweat. Let me tell you something. The fourth and the fifth step was what you call a paper tiger. As long as you keep your back, as long as you keep your resume of failure behind you and never face it, it turns out to be a terrible monster. But when you turn around and you face the beast, you look down. Say, "Hey, little fella." You see what I'm saying? The only thing you is really behind you is a little fella. But as long as your back is turned, it's a 12-foot monster with teeth and fangs. The fourth and fifth step was only painful when I kept my back turned. Once I faced it, I said, "What the hell? I was willing to die for this little thing." That's how big it was. But now the opportunity for freedom has presented itself. I left there saying, "Oh my God, the opportunity is here. But I was not used to peace. So what I did is I joined a five-step program. Man, thank you very much. I did my last step right there. I did not understand the sixth and seventh step. I just, you know what I mean. I've been to a lot of meetings, you know, and I often, I'm one of those advocates, you know, in my home group, they look at me, you know, pretty strangely, because I'm known to be a little controversial, right? And I said to, you know, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, we used to have step study meetings because nobody had did the steps. You know, so what we would do is read the whole step. And then the guy would open the meeting up and say, well, I never did that step, but what I got out of it was, you know. But now we have tons of people who have done the steps, and we use all this time for reading who is an addict, why are we here, what is an alcoholic, therapeutic value. Then we read the whole step. I said, Jimmy Christmas, we're Readers Anonymous, right? What I'm saying to you can read all you want to, but when you report to the teacher, you're reporting as a first grader. The stuff you think you know, your feet has never experienced it. When you decide to get your feet to coordinate with what you think you know, you all of a sudden trembling because you've never done it. This is a do program. So I reported back to my sponsor after saying, well, maybe this is a six-step program. We're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. I've always, see, the true nature of an addict can never be changed. The true nature of addiction can never be changed. What does that mean? That means if a guy says, I got these and they cost $10 a piece, I want to know, can I get it for $8? You understand what I'm saying? That means whatever is the target, my goal is to try to acquire it without going through the process. I want something for nothing at all costs. If you ask me to come to the line, I change my goal. I don't need that. Well, if you bring that attitude to the steps, what we're talking about, what this convention is about, you've just postponed it. Your dream will not come true. The dream you come in here with is the dream you will continue to have. And as clearly defined, my brother called it a nightmare. Anyway, one body to a casket, I'm only concerned about mine. So I remember, man, we're entirely ready. And I remember how my sponsor articulated that to me in such a way that I understood. It says, William, it means that you are now willing to aim at the best God has to offer. It means if you think like most addicts think, which is the true nature of addiction, that you're smarter than most people. Well, let's use your intellect and your smartness to pursue the highest goal that God has to offer according to the definition that you said you have based on your own intellect. See, now I'm going to use intellect to duck the goal. What good is intellect if you're shooting at mediocrity and hitting it? I was shooting low and hitting every time. I couldn't miss, boy. Something for nothing. Damn, and that's what I got. Nothing. Absolutely. Even when I acquired some things, they had no content. You know, I remember a young lady coming over my house, and the purpose was that I was the sponsor, and I was supposed to be helping her get better. And I was taking her through her seventh step. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. And in the middle of the step, it got to talking about postponing character building and spiritual character building to acquire materialistic gain. And when it came to those two competing with each other, that we opt out for the materialistic stuff. I went over to a member of the fellowship's home, and I was just coming out of divorce, and I had gone from a big house to a little house with no furniture. The only thing that was happening in my house was cable TV. And I was paying $40, $50, $60 a month for the cable. I went over to her house. She had $60 one-time fee. Cable TV. The true nature of an addict never changes, see? So I said, well, who you get it from? And the person she got it from, I knew him. I said, well, shit. I went back home. I called the cable company and said, turn that thing off, man. You know, when you got cable TV and you turn it off, all you get left is snow on the TV, right? So I had that thing set up. So I'm driving down the street. Sometime afterwards, I see two guys carrying a sofa. I pull over, right? See, the true nature never changes, right? Something for nothing, you know. I say, y'all ever get any extra furniture? They say, sure. So now I got the cable man and I got the furniture in my pocket. And here this person showed up with this seven-step thing. I'm trying to deliver the seven-step so I can go pull this thing, you know. So she says, what's wrong with you? And I told her about the cable TV. And the true thing about it is I was going to do it anyway. As I continued with the step, it was clear that the pursuit of the steps wasn't important to me. I was going to get back to it just as soon as I finished pulling my move off. Then people could come over my house and say, man, recovery is great. Look at all your stuff, right? I didn't do it. Only because I was helping this person and they was using me as a role model. See, we talk about the message of Narcotics Anonymous and we're so concerned about the message being pure, then get involved with the steps then. Clean your thing up. It says in the morning in your prayer and meditation, when you're thinking about the newcomer and what you can do to help them, say the answer will come if your house is in order. My house wasn't in order. I had a seven-step program. I'm sponsoring somebody, and they're watching to see what I do. I said, shit. I didn't do it. Now, learning how to be involved with the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous, learning how to shoot for the highest goal God has to offer, learning how to motivate yourself to something that has no inspiration at all, learning how to resign from the feelings program, I need to talk about my feelings and get the business done. Learning to understand that anytime you delay, you in danger and out and out rebellion could be fatal. The Grim Reaper is always waiting. We got an incurable disease. You're going to have to come to that conclusion to ante up. You see, I still had this relationship with the Grim Reaper through cowardice. I still was concerned that if I loaned you $20 and you said that you were going to pay me Friday, and it's three Fridays, you know, I need to remind you who I am. I started having a conversation with myself. However, you can gather the wrong information. You can gather any information you want to support cowardice. You can come up to this podium and speak if somebody asks you to speak, but if your feet has never experienced your words, the spirit will abandon you. This is a spiritual program, and if your spirit abandons you, you're vulnerable to the grim reaper. You're vulnerable to death. That no addict seeking, you are not seeking. It's a personal experience, William. I never saw a double-decker casket. I'm concerned about the one that's going to house this 6'6" body. So I had this relationship that needed to be broken. The relationship was my parents knew that I was weak. My parents knew that I was a coward. My parents knew all the things that I had done to them, but because you are in Narcotics Anonymous, they will forgive you because they love you, but you're still a weakling. You're still a coward. You're still a person that stole. You're still the person that lied. You ain't straightened it up. Now you're showing up with new shoes, new shirts. Sure, they're happy for you. But you're still a mental and emotional paraplegic. So, I ain't doing this for emotionalism. I'm trying to breathe. So this thing about making this list. Hell, you ain't got to make no list. All you got to do is go to sleep, see which one of them dreams come to your ass, get up and write it down. That's the same shit that's haunting your ass every night. You understand what I'm saying? You already know who need to be straightened out. No defect can be corrected unless it's clearly seen and handled under the supervision of God. In time. The only time you got is right now. When do you have time to do the steps? Right now. In time. Through recovery, your dreams can come true. I remember mimicking recovery. And I was coming to meetings and leading step meetings, sponsoring people, and doing all the things that we do in recovery. That's a stage of recovery. It's called mimicking recovery, mimicking the good life. And that's what we all have to do. We have to learn to mimic. And then we say, damn, you know, once you got the mimic down, you got a problem. Because you can either try to continue with the mimic, or you can go deeper into where the program really lies. You can go to that place where only dope can reach. You got to have something to go down deep. Whatever that was when you ain't got no dope that used to move and make you go get some, you got to go there. You got to go to that place. That place that when you do the dope, it go way down there and put that thing to rest. The steps will go down there, but it won't go down there if you're just mimicking. They won't go down there if you're waiting on the steps to work you. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't never sat at home and wait the dope to come work me. What the fuck is that? So I remember I used to go around my mother's house, and because I had done a pretty good job at mimicking recovery, I couldn't exemplify recovery. So she used to say, how the program going? And I say, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Say, well, how are you doing over in the Oxford house? I'm doing all right, doing all right, doing all right. I used to depress my parents so bad they would pay me to leave. She'd write me a $50 check. She never gave me under $50, right? You know, pack me some stuff in a bag, and I roll out. There go my little weak son with his clean time. Yeah. That was the relationship. So I had done these steps, an eight-step program. I was in an eight-step program now. So I figured it was about time for me to impress a female, so I decided to go buy me a bling bling on Route 450 over there in New Carton, they had W. Bell Company. I got over there, and I'm looking through the case to find me a bling bling, you know, so I can say, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I saw the exact same ring that I had stole from my mother. The exact one. And my mother is a very classy lady, school teacher, master's degree, don't put up with no stuff, sharp at the tongue. As soon as she found out very clearly that I was using dope, severed the relationship. She was not that type of lady. You know, they was going to have you hanging around. You know, she talked to me, that kind of. Never came to a penitentiary to visit me. Upper Marlboro, Page County, D.C., Fairfax, Harrisonburg County, twice down to Virginia State Penitentiary. My mother didn't make no penitentiary runs, and she ain't sending you no canteen either. You need to know that, right? So here I am with clean time. See the further you put off the steps, the more difficult it is. Clean time becomes the trap. Once you get the house, the car, the relationship, how you gonna straighten up this nine-step stuff? You know, you got all this so-called information, you know stuff that your feet ain't never done, and you hitting people with it, you know. Well, you need to talk about that. You know, what this tradition says, and you know, in order to have a clear NA message,
nigga, you ain't got no clear message.
Your shit is up, you know. So anyway, I made a decision consciously. I said, I'm going too far with this step stuff. Remember, I was only trying to get out the appointment on a Friday night with the Grim Reaper. I'm too deep here. I'm getting further away from Heron. I keep doing this, I ain't gonna be able to use again. Ooh, good God. So anyway, when you do an eight-step list, the interesting thing about writing down a person's name on your eight-step is you got to remember what you did for them. You got to remember what you did to them, not for them, right? And God, in His infinite wisdom, every time I wrote a person's name down, I had to remember what I did to them. Not only did I have to remember what I did to them, I recaptured. God sent to me the sneakiness that I used to position them right before I pulled the thing off. I said, God damn. And I remember positioning my mother. I got to position her to beat her for the ring. I came over there with the intent of beating her. I knew what I was going to take. And now clean time is my trap. You got to learn to live and try to act like you experiencing what Narcotics Anonymous have to offer under those conditions. It's called bipolar. Oh, you need some medication, you keep this up, will you? But I had to answer my own question. When are you going to get it done, William? In time, through recovery. What time are you going to get it done? And the answer came back clearly. Based on the appointment with the Grim Reaper, never. I ain't never gonna straighten it up. Pretty pitiful. My self-esteem, false pride, had grown to a level that I was finding it difficult to do something like this. So anyway, I continued with the purchase of a ring for me, mentally. But at the end of the experience, I had purchased a black onyx diamond ring. And here the little coward sits at home. I don't know how much the ring costs. I don't remember the conversation with the salesperson. I don't remember driving home, but I do remember sitting at home with this ring. What the hell am I going to do now? I called Thomas Gordon Stark. He said, all amends are to be preceded by prayer and meditation. I had been on a diet of prayer for over 2 years then. He had me on the resentment prayer for any wrong done, for blank, blank, and blank. Give them 3 to 4 times as much happiness in their life as I want in mine. So obviously, my wife and the gal, who had both new men in their lives, was in my prayer. I was a year and a half into praying for them. He had me on the step prayer, what he called the step guidance prayer. Lord, in doing my 9-step, guide me so clearly that even someone as stupid as me can understand. Motivate me from the top of my head to the bottom of my balls to follow thy guidance with patience, persistence, and joy. And I didn't understand the other prayer, but now it rang clear to me. It was the parental forgiveness prayer. It said, Lord, for my mother and my father, I had to name them by name, for Terry Patterson, for William Patterson, for my uncle, for all those people that were instrumental in raising me as a child. For any wrong done to me, real or imagined, remembered or forgotten, may I forgive them absolutely. And may they, living or dead, forgive me for any wrong I've done to them. See, I've gotten too far into this thing. In this process, I always kept a U-80 insulin syringe behind my head in my mind's eye. I had lost the syringe. See, the goal had changed because the steps was reaching where dope used to be. You dig what I'm saying? So I did what my sponsors told me to do. He said, man, remember, this precious fluid we call water, the reason I'm drinking it is because it's a life sustainer. When we get in the shower in the morning, we cleanse our body. Remember, it's a purification. We're living in Narcotics Anonymous, which presents us with the opportunity for freedom. In my mind's eye, he said, the water is a healer, it's a cleanser, it's a life sustainer. Cleanse yourself, improve your life. Drink. But when I cleaned myself internally, there lied the difficulties that I experienced through the ducking of the steps. The 9th step hadn't been done, so my insides, good Lord, I needed to keep changing the washcloth. It was dirty in there. No matter what I did, what I said, how many people I sponsored, how many service positions I have, no matter how clear you think your message is, your real message still is not the message that Jimmy Keenan is talking about. So anyway, God did for me what I could not do for myself. I drove over to my mother's house. What day, I don't know. I don't know whether it was summer or winter. I got over to her house, and the so-called gift of gab that addicts think they got, try the 9-step. You do not have a gift of gab. It's called BS. But when you tap into the true nature of what's called recovery, your gift of gab leaves. You left with who you really are. So I got this black onyx diamond ring in my pocket. A coward with a black onyx diamond ring. The year is 1984. I had beat my mother for the ring in 1970-something. The addict, what the hell are you doing? Why would you go in here bringing up this conversation? Why don't you still got the receipt? Go get your money back, man. How can you call that recovery? In time, what time? The time is now. Straighten your mama up now. If you've been in Narcotics Anonymous enough to start getting chips, don't let nobody fool you. I didn't have enough courage. So I stayed there with my mom, and I decided that I didn't have enough courage. Let's go back and talk to the sponsor. Now was too much for me. So I got up and, you know, I had my hand on the door leaving. But I looked up in the air and I saw my sponsor's eye and the many meetings that I had with him. And I turned around and my voice started to articulate that I had stolen the ring. I was getting ready to break the family silence, the secrets of having a child who had a devastating weakness, the secret of the child who had embarrassed my parents through all the jails, through all the bitten that I had them go through. And they understood when I started to talk that I was too weak to handle this. You can't handle this. So they began to cry for me. You don't have to do that. But that was the weak part as the crescendo of the amends and restitution process. See, they're used to you getting emotional and saying, I'm sorry. But when I came up with the Black Onyx Diamond Ring, I presented it to my mother. I said, Chimi, Christmas. I was embarrassed. It was done. I left. When I got outside the door, the disease of addiction said, damn, what the hell did you do? See, we are two people. We have an incurable disease that will always take a coward's way out. He going outside, and the new person that Narcotics Anonymous is trying to get to recover from living with this asshole. You understand? See, I got through it. I got through it by acknowledging that I'm too weak to do it, and I followed the instruction and asked for this, the power that comes in the third step. And when I rode back to where I lived, the disease of addiction was sitting over there looking like a paper tiger. Hey, little fella. You see what I'm saying? He no longer had the power that he had before. However, the program, the first 9 steps of the program, is a very interesting experience. And I want to say this to you guys, 10, 11, and 12, that's where I live today. I don't do well, you dig, but that's the maintenance of Narcotics Anonymous. I must say this about Narcotics Anonymous. To continue to practice the principles in all your affairs is an awkward experience, isn't it? See, it's one thing to work the steps, but to continue to practice the steps as a way of life is a very awkward experience. On my 20th anniversary coming from Atlanta, I got involved in this thing called Freedom, and I started purchasing properties, and I was rehabbing properties. On one of the properties that I had purchased, I kept a weapon in it. My head told me that it was all right because, you know, I'm a responsible person, but I'm a multiple convicted felon. The gun was unregistered, but I kept it in the house. And I kept one in the house that I lived in. I got a couple of signals that maybe I shouldn't have had a gun. You dig? One time the police pulled me over and I happened to have a gun in the car because I was taking care of an uncle who was dying from cancer and he lived in Baltimore. He's kind of a rough guy, so he had hurt some people. So I used to carry a pistol when I went over his house. But when, you know, I'm very unorganized, so when the police stopped me, I didn't know exactly was it in the back seat or the front seat or the glove compartment. See, that's a signal, right? The true nature of an addict never changes, right? You know, I already know that I got problems with pistols, right? But now I'm responsible. I've had the 12-step experience and everything, you know. So one time I was going over my uncle's house. I had two guns. I had a 9mm and I had a 44 Bulldog, snub nose. 20 years clean, right? I had just come back from the World Convention in Atlanta, right? But prior to that, I had a second experience. This didn't have to happen. I got another signal. One day I was going over to my uncle's house. I had the gun in a briefcase, a gym bag. I threw the gym bag in the trunk. The gun fired. Of course, it was the 9mm. So I used my prayer and meditation, and it told me, well, you shouldn't carry the automatic, carry the revolver. See, I'm having a step problem. See, the steps don't work unless you tap and funnel that thing through the third step. Without a third step experience with the practice, right, obviously I was faking myself out. So I didn't take the heed. So 2 years later, I cut a deal after coming back from Atlanta. I thought it was pretty significant in my life, 20 years in recovery. I cut a deal after I finished this property, and I cut a nice deal. I was getting 10 grand a month for this property. That's a nice deal, wasn't it? $120,000 a year. I needed that money to pay the attorney after I got caught with that goddamn gun, right? See, we make mistakes. But I was very embarrassed when I came to meetings. I felt like I had failed my teachers. I felt like I was an embarrassment to Narcotics Anonymous. I had to recommit to the steps. I had to not listen to the addict. He came back up. Nah, but listen to me. This is what we're going to do. I got fired from my job after 17 years. Now I got two joints I got to make the note on, right? But a guy told me, man, about recovery, and it was an interesting thing, Dan. Once you begin to experience this thing called dreams, right? I had documented my dreams. I had them down on paper, right? Because a guy told me, he said, man, what are you planning to do with your life now that you're clean? I said, man, now that I'm clean, man, I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to go as far as I can go. He said, fool, there is no job and no goal called go as far as you can go. So anyway, I stuck to the plan. I got back to the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And let me tell you, that thing is behind me. That thing is behind me. But one of the things that I'm so grateful about in Narcotics Anonymous is that because I had the option of Narcotics Anonymous, and I chose that option again to continue to practice these principles in my affairs, I stuck to the paper, I stuck to my dreams, I'm continuing to do that, and I became chief operating officer of a company, my own. I hired myself. I was fired and I was hired. Yeah. I'm the chief operating officer of that company, Universal Healthcare. I very rarely talk about it in meetings. The chief executive officer is Miss Terry Patterson, the lady who I made amends to. That's my mom. I hired her to be my boss. But what happened is, I spent all my retirement. I mortgaged all the houses, wasn't but two. And I ran out of money. And the chief operating officer of Universal Healthcare had to give me $180,000. My mother is 72 years old, and she gave me $90,000 cash. And then she mortgaged her house for $100,000. I felt like shit. Because the addict knew, based on life expectancy, the opportunity to give that money back, the addict in me said, you know, the addict is an interesting person. You know, I had to take care of my uncle during his death. And when he was dying, one day I needed to go see him, but I was tired. And I said to myself, well, I'm tired, I can't go visit him. And the addict crawled up on my shoulder and said, yeah, you know you're in his will. Why don't you just hurry up and die so you can get your stuff? And I had to get up out of my bed just because of the thought that I'm sitting around waiting on somebody to die so I can improve my materialistic thing. So I got to be real careful about that, right? So I went to see him, and when I got over there, he was in the fetal position dying from cancer. All he wanted is somebody to change his diaper and somebody to wipe the saliva off the side of his face. You see, the addict in me knew that my mother is 72 years old and that I really didn't have to pay the money back. You with me with that? Pretty pitiful. So what I did is I stuck to the plan. And because I'm in a business that money comes through your hand, it ain't your money. It's money to be dispersed to the employees. It's money to pay workmen's compensation. It's money to pay taxes. It's money to pay liability insurance. It's money. I got three mortgages. I got $8,000 worth of mortgages just on the buildings. So I'm not the owner of the money. Right? When we throw these conventions, you're not the owner of the money. The money comes through your hand. When you're at your hotel, you don't own the experience. It's a responsibility that comes with this. So at the end of the experience, at the end of the year, the first year of business, there was a piece of money left. Now, I can get mine. Or I can say, damn, my mother is 72 years old, and I can shovel it all over to her, every dime. I sat with it for 2 days, but I already knew what I had to do. December 25th, that was her Christmas present. All of her money. So people see me driving a new Escalade and they say, man, you doing good. And I tell them that's my mama's car. Because that's what my mama wanted. She lets me drive her car. That is her Escalade. She's a 72-year-old woman with a Cadillac Escalade. So when it was time for me to come to Ocean City, I had goals of driving her Escalade down here because my car has been in the shop for 3 weeks. And she said, something's wrong with my brakes. Man, don't you dare try to crawl up my sleeve, fool. You understand? I was happy to say, on my way. And went and got my car and drove my car down this Mama Dookie. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not concerned about what I wear or what I drive so I can impress you. I want to have a personal experience with my mother based on the time that I got left. In time, through recovery, the opportunity of a dream come true is possible for you. In time, what I've just explained to you was the usage of time in pursuit of the goal called recovery. That is the message that the spirit of the teachers that is trying to give us here in Narcotics Anonymous. That is the purpose of this particular gathering, that every life represented here represents the true goal called recovery, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. We have the responsibility of relaying the true spirit, the universal creator, to every person that is in reach. Every person, listen to it, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. However, that's limited. My gratitude speaks when I care and when I share the NA way. That means with everybody that you come in contact with, you recognize that they are an extension of the Creator themselves. And everybody that you come in contact with from this day, this night, this weekend, is the Creator. They have something to teach you. The message of recovery of Narcotics Anonymous is universal to all people. The steps is a responsibility that I heard so eloquently put by a brother from Baltimore. I think his name was Ed. He says the 12 steps prepares you to be of maximum service to others. I welcome those of you who are interested in joining the True Program and having fellowship with the true spirit of Narcotics Anonymous. I send peace and love to you all. Good night.